Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Sarah LaDuke, in for Ray Graff, who's a little under the weather today. I promise I didn't sabotage him so that I would get to talk about dogs and cats and everything with Carrie O'Loughlin. He was ill, and I was happy to step in. It is our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Dr. O'Loughlin, welcome back. Good to see you, Carrie. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's great to see you, too.
The number to call is 800-348-2551. Once again, the phone number, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. If you are going to email in your pet question, please provide as much information as you can about your pet, including their age, their gender, breed, if you know it. If you're going to submit a question online, it's easier to have all those details since we can't do follow-up chit-chat as we can on the phone. Again, the phone number, 800-348-2551. The email, voxpop@wamc.org. Also, the lockbox is open. I know everybody knows this, but it is urgent that I emphasize again that we are trying to raise money this week to shorten the fund drive next week. The full fund drive will begin on Monday morning at 6. And we currently have in the lockbox $569,265, which is an incredible showing. It is so important to us and so valuable to us to have such a supportive listenership throughout the region, and we hope that we will continue to hear from you. You can, of course, pledge online anytime at wamc.org. And speaking of the fun drive, as we are often doing, Carrie, you volunteer during the fun drive sometimes, which we, again, appreciate. You do so much for the station between being on Vox Pop and volunteering. And so I want to take this moment now that I have you in Studio A to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You're really walking the walk for us, and we appreciate it very dearly.
Well, you're very welcome. I actually started doing Vox Pop because I was here volunteering at one of the fun drives. Yeah. And I got chatting with Ray, and the next thing you know, I'm on the show.
That can happen. That can happen. Of course, you've proven to be an incredibly knowledgeable and marvelous participant. And because you had been on the air for so long, when my husband and I adopted our dog during the pandemic, I reached out to you and I said, are you taking new patients? Are you taking new clients? And you've been there for us for Doritos as well. So you're just like one of the queens of my life, Carrie. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Of course. Again, the phone number is 800-348-2551. You want to start with an email this morning?
Sure.
Sure. The email address again, voxpop@wamc.org. And this is from Catherine, who says, our 14-year-old large dog has spine and back leg problems due to a car accident as a puppy. He has done well for years with excellent veterinary care and acupuncture, but he is now having a lot of trouble getting up, cannot do stairs, and worse by the end of the day. He has taken gabapentin for a long time, but I recently read that could cause ataxia and some of his symptoms, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on best treatments.
So, a lot of dogs take gabapentin long-term. Gabapentin is actually a nerve pain reliever. It basically kind of tells the pain nerves to ignore the signals they're getting. And some dogs will act a little woozy when they first go on it. Usually they acclimate to it within a few days. So if he's been on gabapentin for a long time, I doubt that would be any cause for his worsening ability to get around. I think it's probably likely our spinal arthritis or something like that going on because he had those injuries. I think things like acupuncture are really going to be probably one of the best things at this point. Maybe physical therapy. There are several practices around that offer physical therapy where they have underwater treadmills and they'll show owners how to do exercises at home and things like that. If they feel it's pain related, there are other pain relievers that you can layer on to gabapentin. But if it's more functional, then I think the physical therapy and acupuncture and or chiropractic, most people that do acupuncture do chiropractic as well, would be the best thing for them.
There's also, they do start by saying our 14-year-old large dog, which 14 years is a long life for a big dog.
Exactly. He's done well. Very especially well. Considering he got off to a rough start. So
is it, do you often have to remind the people of your patients that their lives are finite and shorter than they want them to be.
Yes. You know, sometimes we have to say they've kind of reached their lifespan. So any day going forward is a good day, you know.
Right.
But yeah, and unfortunately,
which is not necessarily what we're saying to Catherine.
No,
but 14-year-old large dog.
Yes.
You're doing all right.
Yes. And, you know, it's end of life times are always difficult. And there are all different ways that you can determine when it is time, you know, and it's based on sort of reviewing their likes of what they like to do and what they can do. And I also remind people it's also your quality of life, not just the pets. So it's a combination.
The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number, 800-348-2551. It is a real winter weather day out there today, January in the Northeast. Shouldn't expect less. What kinds of winter things do we need to remember for our pets, particularly outdoor, I would say, dogs on walks and stuff like that?
Yes. So, I mean, I get a lot of people who feel silly because they got a coat for their dog or a sweater. For the short-coated dogs, like Doritos, it's not a bad idea. You know, especially like last week when it was brutally cold. I was actually in Florida in the not as brutal cold, but
it was kind of cold though, wasn't it?
It was not terribly warm in Florida. But you know, any of the really short coated dogs like your hounds and your boxers, and you know, anyone that doesn't have a nice thick coat, a jacket or a sweater is not a bad idea. And obviously not leaving them outside for too long on their own. If you're walking them on sidewalks or streets, there's the salt to think about. So taking a damp cloth and wiping their feet off when they get home is also a good idea. Some dogs will wear booties, some dogs not so much. So things like that. I'm trying to think what else.
You can tell when they get really dry and they're licking them a lot because they're itchy and cracked.
And believe it or not, you can use things like Vaseline or hand moisturizer on their paws. Some dogs this time of year, the other thing you see, especially older dogs, is their nose starts to get a little cracked. So again, some Vaseline. They'll lick it off pretty quickly.
Some of that oil will absorb before they do.
Yeah, it does help. It does help.
Doritos does like to lick any salve we put on him. He'll lick off his feet, but some of it's on there before he gets to it, of course.
Yeah.
The phone number, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets on Vox Pop today with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. We do have more email questions, so I will go to one of these now. This from Steven, who says, the subject line is cat allergies. He says, how common are allergic reactions to flea medications in cats? My pure white cat has a pink spot on her back where the flea medication was applied. She also developed a reaction to a flea collar, causing a spot on her neck that she licked raw. Is there some other flea medication that she might not be allergic to?
Yes. So we definitely see individual pets who can have reaction to either the topical, sounds like the spot on the back of the neck was one of those topical products, or the collars. My own cat, same thing, lost all the hair around her neck when I put a collar on her.
Oh,
and you don't know until you try it.
Right. And it grows back?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Most of these, they will heal. But obviously, in a situation like that, if it's a topical product, you can wash that spot with something like Dawn that will cut the oil, and that will help at least get some of it off where it was. And then they do make oral flea and tick medications for cats. So there are a couple of different oral ones that they could potentially try in its place.
And their vet would hook them up with that, or they're over the counter, or you can just buy them
most
in the store.
Oral ones are going to be a prescription product because they are oral, so it has to be FDA approved.
Got it.
So you get it through your vet.
800-348-2551. We have an email here from Linda, who says, I have a question about my very aggressive food anxiety cats. I have a household of four cats, and they range from ages 0 to 100, literally. The two youngest cats are new to the household, and they are a mama cat and her baby. The mama cat literally chose me as I found her living in the basement of my house a year ago. It's unknown her history, but she was not a feral cat. She and her baby are very aggressive when it is feeding time, and it's stressful feeding them as they go from one bowl to the other and don't let the other two cats eat in peace. I have since started separating the mama and the baby, feeding her in the bathroom, and the kitten eats with the other two, but I have to monitor her so she won't eat the other cat's food. The problem is that they're constantly hungry and looking for food, jumping on counters, etc. What is a good way to discipline them and stop this behavior? Thanks. My name is Linda, and I'm from Amsterdam.
Yeah, so my first thought was what she's already done, which is separate them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. Mama Kitty, you know, she was a stray and on her own. She may be very food driven because she may have gone periods of time without having food. So I could see where she would be food driven, and her kitten may just be learning from mom.
Sure.
So again, I would, you know, initially try the separation. You can also, I mean, cats are trainable. People don't think about it, but you know, if the kitten is going over and bothering the other cats, a quick little reprimand and then back to its dish and praise and pet it and tell what a good kitty is if it goes to the right dish. If they're hungry in between, she might want to think about, they make like food toys that you can put food in and the cat has to sort of swat it around, mm-hmm. and then the food dribbles out.
Yeah.
That would be one way of giving them some way of getting food without, you know, pushing the other cats out of the dish, things like that.
We have those that for similar for Doritos for the dog, which his eating habits are like really mellow, which is so lucky. But sometimes when I just need him to wait 10 minutes before we can go on a walk, I'll go, do you want a treat ball? Will that entertain you while we wait to go out? So we get some chicken in there.
Yeah. And some people also, I mean, some people recommend, as far as for, especially if you have a cat who's having weight issues, things like that, of making them chase their food, like just throwing pieces of food across the floor and make them chase it, which works great if you have just cats in the house. Would have never worked in my house when I had the dogs, because the dog would be there in a hot second.
Sure.
But if you have just cats, that's another way of just, you know, making them hunt their food.
Yeah, it's good for them.
So
800-348-2551, Pets and Vets with Carrie O'Loughlin. It is time for our first underwriting break, and we will be back momentarily. Welcome back to Vox Pop. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon, here with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. The phone number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The briefest of reminders that you can always contribute to WAMC at WAMC.org. And now we to the phones. Let us begin with Nancy in Delmar. Hello, Nancy. Nancy?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Dr. Carey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Here's the dilemma. My son and daughter-in-law have a bunny and a cat who have been living on separate floors, and now there is talk about trying to introduce that to each other, and I'm wondering if that's possible, wise, or doable.
I guess it's possibly doable. I definitely would not let them be unsupervised at any point for quite a while until you can prove that the cat has no interest in hunting the bunny. I had a bunny at one point that lived, we had a hutch in the backyard. It wasn't in the house. But I would occasionally let the rabbit out and let him hop around the backyard. And I had cats. And the bunny was completely fascinated with cats. And he was huge. He was almost bigger than the cats. And he would hop over to the cats, and the cats would initially see him and think, oh, my God, there's a rabbit. I got to go get it. And then the rabbit would start hopping towards the cats, and the cats would go, oh, my God, it's coming this way. And they'd run away. So, you know, it depends on how the cat reacts. I have heard of people who have cats and rabbits that live together, but they'd have to be very, very, very careful, because unfortunately, a cat bite is likely to be fatal to a rabbit. They're very susceptible to the bacteria in a cat mouth. So even if the cat didn't kill the bunny outright, if it just grabbed it and bit it, it could cause a fatal infection. So, very close supervision.
So it doesn't matter that the cat is an indoor-outdoor cat and the bunny is an indoor bunny? It doesn't matter, right?
No.
The same principle applies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, the cats either, okay. You know, cats are either hunters. Some cats are not hunters, and they really couldn't care less. And then that might be okay. But I would not leave them unsupervised because it could be very short-lived for the bunny, unfortunately.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, Nancy. 800-348-2551. Shall we keep rolling, Carrie?
Sure.
All right. We'll go to Carolyn in Stone Ridge. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Reasonably well. How are you?
I'm okay. I have four cats total presently. I have an elder cat that's been with us for about 9 years, almost 10. And in June, we received a kitten, a female kitten, from a friend of ours, because her cat got pregnant, had a litter. My daughter was involved, and she wanted us to take the whole litter, but I told her we couldn't do that. So we only took the black cat, the kitten. And a couple of months after, like around in the autumn, my daughter told me that the other cats that were initially adopted came back to the original owner, and she wanted us to take them. They're red tabby boys, and we got them just before Christmas. And there's been some friction in the household with the elder cat and the red tabby boys. I'm just wondering, what can I do to help try to defuse tensions in my household?
Your older kitty, is it a male or a female? Just curious.
It's a female.
Okay. Yeah, females tend to be a little less accepting of new cats. So it doesn't surprise me that she's being, you know, although orange boys tend to be fairly
sweet.
Chill for the most part. But I'm assuming now that she got the initial kitten was little when you got it, correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they're from the same litter.
Right, right. But these orange boys were introduced at an older age.
Yes.
Yeah. So she might be feeling just a little more stressed, where you bring a little tiny kitten in, the older cat a lot of times is like, oh, it's a little baby, you know, and then they get used to it. Where uh-huh. The bigger cats now, it's more of it's like introducing two adult cats. So you just need to go slow.
Yeah.
Don't make them share litter boxes until they're all getting along, because you don't want to start having litter box issues. Make sure the older kitty has her space where she can be by her, you know, get away from the kittens and feel comfortable. You might want to consider things like feel away. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a pheromone product.
Yeah, someone told me to use a pheromone. I do have a pheromone spray.
Yeah.
And I sprayed, like, two places in the living room because our living room was only so big.
Yeah.
And I did it where the food bowls are in the area. But I guess I was getting high off of those pheromones myself.
They also make, they make diffusers as well that you can plug in. That will just slowly diffuse that. That's something to consider. And the other thing I sometimes find help, I don't know if your old kitty still has any interest in play. Sometimes playing with the kittens while the older cat is sitting there and watching, they just sort of see that they're not a danger to her. And sometimes they can even entice them to be like, oh, maybe I'll join in the fun. And the next thing you know, they're doing a little playtime together. But you just have to be patient.
We did try separate. Well, when we got the black cat, we did make an effort to separate the two of them. But the black cat figured she just managed to jump over the gate and go dashing down the stairs to where the rest of the family was and just started exploring. When we got the red boys, they were meowing so much, it was kind of hard to keep them separated. And we were supervising them when they had full range in the house.
Yep.
But yeah, so we've been, they also picked up some bad habits from their mother cat as well that I've been trying to correct. And some of the things have more or less disappeared. And I'm still working on the less tension issues in my house.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, thank you for your advice. It sounds pretty good.
Good, good.
Thank you.
I think given time, they generally will usually figure things out over time.
Great. Thank you for your call, Carol. And the phone number is 800-348-2551. This is Pets and Vets on Vox Pop with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. We have an email here from Tom who says, do female dogs go through menopause? I have an 11-year-old toy rat terrier female. She's 5.5 pounds. She still had heat about a month ago. Everything was normal until last week. She started to have a slimy, bloody discharge just once, and she seemed like she was in pain. She was squealing when I picked her up. I had recently just made a move from upstate to Long Island, so I'm assuming maybe it's stress being in a new environment. She seems to be eating and drinking as normal, but I notice she's sleeping a lot more. I do have a veterinary appointment next week. I'm just concerned. Any advice is appreciated. Thank you from Thomas and Fifi.
Yeah, unfortunately, no, dogs do not go through menopause. I actually had friends of mine who had a 16-year-old Jack Russell Terrier that got pregnant and had a puppy.
The poor dog.
Almost killed her.
I'm sure.
But the problem is, my concern would be that this dog could have an infection in the uterus. Dogs that go in and out of heat over the years are prone to something called pyometra, and the uterus fills with pus, basically. And sometimes they drain, in which case the dogs will actually feel okay. They may be thirsty. It seems to make dogs drink a lot when they have pyometra. But if it's a closed pyometra where their cervix is closed, that's actually much more dangerous because now basically you have an abscess brewing in the abdomen. And if that uterus ruptures, it's very bad. So glad they're going to the doctor. You can't, unfortunately, just do antibiotics. It doesn't work. The only way to treat is to get the uterus out. So he may be looking at getting his dog spayed at 11.
Okay. Good luck, Thomas, to you and Fifi, and we hope everybody feels better soon. The phone number, 800-348-2551. Let us go now to Joanne in Ticonderoga. Hello, Joanne.
Hi. Yeah, I've just adopted 3 young cats that were born under our porch. They're a year old now. They're neutered males. They're very healthy. And I'm just wondering what kind of plan we could have to keep them gum and tooth healthy. We just had a die-off of our older cats that in their teens, and it seemed like their whole lives they had gum and tooth problems. And these cats have such lovely teeth. What can we do to keep them healthy?
Dental regimen for one-year-old cats.
Yes. So, you know, cat dental health has a lot to do with genetics. I've seen cats that are one-year-old that have terrible dental health, and I've seen 18-year-old cats with perfect dental health. So a lot of it has to do with genetics, but, you know, at a year of age, it's hard to know. So certainly... ideally, we would be brushing our cat's teeth. Now, I've got to say, most cats are not real fans of having their teeth brushed.
I can't imagine they would be.
If you don't start as a kitten, you know, if you start early and they're used to it, then it can be not that big a deal. I, unfortunately, more times than not, have seen people make enemies of their cats by trying to brush their teeth all the time. So, but they do make dental treats. And there are dental diets that sometimes what we'll do, you don't necessarily have to feed the dental diet exclusively, but you can either use it as treats or you can mix it in with their regular diet. A lot of people feel, oh, I have to feed them dry food to keep their teeth clean. Regular dry food does nothing to clean their teeth. It just shatters when the cat bites it. Half the time, if you've ever cleaned up vomit from a cat that ate dry food, half the time they swallow it whole anyway. But the dental diets are generally bigger pieces, and they're harder, and they're made to scrub the teeth as they bite it.
What about cat grass?
Grass is probably not going to do anything for their teeth. There is a website run by the Veterinary Oral Health Council. So it's VOHC, org, and they have a list of what they consider to be appropriate anti-tartar, either chews, treats, rinses, there's water additives, there's all sorts of things, but they have on their website ones that are actually effective versus just going to the pet store and picking up something off the shelf. So
yeah, well, our previous cats were all long hairs, and I wonder if long hairs, they also had a lot of upper respiratory problems, sinus problems, and I'm wondering if long-haired cats might be more susceptible to some of this stuff.
I don't think it really has much to do with their hair coat, but I would say in general, the Asian breed cats, like the Siamese and Himalayans and those, do tend to run into more tooth problems than your average cat, but unfortunately, it's a fairly common thing in cats, so if you can, you know, get started at a young age, all the better.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling, Joanne. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. And we have an email question from a different Joanne. Here we go. I have a new-to-me 4-month-old rescue who has been itchy since I got him. It's a dog. He's been treated with flea meds and oatmeal baths, but he's still so itchy. I have changed his diet to a limited one, cut out chicken, started using fish oil, brush him every day. He's cut himself over both eyes, scratching so violently. He's on Claritin now, but it doesn't seem to help. We do have a vet appointment next week, but I'd like to hear how he might handle this. And they also add he's approximately a year and a half. Well, we said 4 months before, but that must be a mistake. Yeah. He's approximately a year and a half old male, probably Australian Shepherd, Basset Hound mix, 40 pounds of fun.
Yeah. So it certainly sounds like he's got allergies. It sounds like they've tried to do something with diet. At a year and a half, so there's two main branches of allergies, generally environmental, which would include fleas, or food. Dogs can be food allergic at any age. They can become food allergic at 10 weeks of age or 10 years of age.
It can just still suddenly happen?
Yep. They can be eating the same food their whole life and suddenly at 10 years go, yep, I don't like chicken or I don't like corn or I don't like whatever X ingredient.
Okay.
Environmental allergies tend to show up young, unless you move from Arizona to New York or whatever. It tends to start somewhere between a year and a half and 4 years of age. So he could certainly be an environmental allergy dog. I don't know if it said when it started, but if it started in the fall, that's a really prime time for allergic dogs because all the leaves are coming off the trees and things like that. There's a lot of stuff that you can do for allergies. Antihistamines are very hit and miss in dogs, maybe works 10 to 20% of the time. But there's a lot of other things that their vet can help them with. I mean, bathing is a great thing. The oatmeal baths, for sure. The thing with bathing people need to remember is contact time. Just putting the shampoo on and washing it off doesn't work. You got to put the shampoo on and let it sit for a good 15 minutes before you rinse it off.
No matter how sad the dog looks in the tub.
Yes. And then don't forget to rinse. You
right.
Leave the shampoo on, they're going to be even itchier when they're done. So,
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest expert today on Pets and Vets on Vox Pop. The phone number is 800-348-2551. And let's take one more call before our next break. We're coming to you, Mark and Russell. Hello, Mark.
Hi, this is Mark's wife.
Hi, Mark's wife.
who handed the phone off to me.
Okay.
I was
That's
driving,
allowed.
So, yeah, I was driving, so he had to make the call. I'm actually a veterinarian in Western Massachusetts.
Oh,
and
hi.
I've been on the lookout. I'm a fellow Cornelian, by the way. I'm wondering if you have been seeing any suspected bird flu cases in cats out there.
Not as far as I know. I would have to put an asterisk on that in that I am semi-retired right now, so I have actually not been working all of January. So, but as far as I know, I was just at the office on Monday and nobody mentioned it. I know they're keeping an eye out, but as far as I know, we have not seen any active cases.
Okay. Well, I'm keeping an eye out too, and I'm hoping I hope I don't see any.
Agreed. Absolutely. So.
All right. Well, thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Thanks, Mark's wife, who never gave your name, but or I would use it.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm another Joanne.
Oh, perfect. No, that's great. A trifecta. No, I don't. You shouldn't apologize. Sure. I just meant I wouldn't have referred to you as someone's wife if I knew your name. Joanne.
No.
You're your own person.
I'm just concerned that we don't have enough surveillance out there, and I'm hoping that we veterinarians don't end up being the first line of surveillance.
Agreed. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Remember, you can pledge and support WAMC anytime at WAMC.org. We will return with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin and your pet questions after this. Welcome back to Pets and Vets on Vox Pop, WAMC's afternoon call-in show. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon. The website, should you care to support WAMC and help us shorten next week's fund drive, is WAMC.org. That's www.wamc.org. The phone number to call in with your questions this afternoon is 800-348-2551. And the email address to email in your questions is voxpop@wamc.org. All of that paperwork taken care of. Back to the phones, Carrie?
Yes.
Okie doke, here we go. Let us now go to Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a large... Hello?
Yep, go ahead. Sorry.
Are you able... Okay. I have a very large standard poodle that's been a big avid chewer from the get-go. And now, even at almost 8, she chews anything that she's not supposed to, but she eats it. So her favorites are socks, her favorites are tennis balls, and any kind of dog toy that she can chew up and then swallow the inside of. I've had her at the emergency vet once for a blockage, which she was luckily able to pass. I just am wondering if there's anything that I can do other than try to keep her busy. I did find a toy she cannot chew, and I do use treats in that toy, but I don't. It's really kind of crazy, and I'm wondering if there's any kind of medication or something else that I can do.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't know that medication is going to help. And unfortunately, dogs that have things like sock fetishes, really the only thing you can do is keep those socks out of their reach. I've unfortunately known a couple of dogs that have gone to meet their maker because they wouldn't stop eating socks. So it's a tough one. Finding one of these indestructible toys like a Kong. I don't know if she's chewed up Kong toys. They're pretty indestructible. They're rubber. And you can put peanut butter or some treats in there to entertain her. Things like that. Sometimes, unfortunately, some dogs need to end up wearing a basket muzzle at time to keep them from inappropriately chewing things, especially when they're not able to be watched. But other than that, unfortunately, I don't have any great options. It seems to be
all
a personality
right, well,
trait
it.
In some of these dogs.
Yes. Yeah. I have a toy called Bionic. She can get a Kong, but she cannot get the Bionics.
She can get a Kong.
That's
wow.
what I've been using of late.
It's a very tough chewer.
At the bottom. Yes, she is a really tough chewer. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
all
for
right.
calling.
Good luck.
Have a great day.
You too. 1-800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, and I will take this question from email. Now, this is from Louise, who says, our 8-month-old Cavalier mix has a couple of baby teeth alongside the adult teeth. Is it a problem? Does it need to be removed? What can be done to help with tooth health for this small dog? I understand small dogs often have tooth problems, according to the email.
Yeah, so those are called retained deciduous teeth. Often it's the canine teeth or the fangs that don't come out in the smaller dogs. Normally when their adult teeth come in, they push those baby teeth out. But every now and then you get the ones that don't. And yes, they really do need to be removed because they're going to trap food and cause issues. We usually do it when we're neutering them. If for some reason the dog was already done, as done at a younger age or whatever, before the all the adult teeth were in, it may mean a separate procedure. But really, that you don't want to leave a double sets of teeth in because it's going to cause problems.
800-348-2551. Now to Kristen in Albany. Hello, Kristen.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, thanks. What's your question?
I have a cat who is a very large cat. He's 18 pounds, and he was in a hospital for 6 weeks after he was rescued from a hoarding situation. I adopted him a year ago, and as a result, he has very bad vet anxiety. I imagine he was poked and prodded and a bunch of stuff he didn't want to have happen, so he does not like to be handled. And I can pick him up for a few seconds, but I cannot cut his nails. And I've brought him to the vet to cut his nails, but they want him kind of sedated with gabapentin. He takes 200 milligrams of gabapentin. But he's on to me now, and I can't sprinkle it on his food. I can't hide it in a treat. I've gotten the liquid gabapentin. He tastes it, so he won't eat it on his food. And so what I've resorted to is having to pill him. Which is basically, for anyone who doesn't know, is kind of manhandling the cat, stuffing the pill in their mouth and holding their mouth closed so that they'll swallow it. I had to do that last time because I ran out of tricks. And I did get all the medicine into him, but I ended up needing a tetanus shot and antibiotics.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
Wow.
So it's like I need a new way to sedate him so I can clip his nails. And also, if he needs a procedure at the vet, they expect him to have 200 milligrams of gabapentin in him because he's a brute.
Yeah. I guess my first inclination would be to say, how badly does he need his nails trimmed?
I
never cut my cat's nails.
He doesn't scratch that much anymore, like as far as the walls or anything. But the only real human contact that he feels comfortable with is if I lay down and he needs my belly and my legs.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of like, and that's very soothing for him. I think because he's like so afraid of, he's coming along to let me pet him just a tiny bit. But I can't have him do it I can't let him do it if he's got long nails.
Gotcha. I guess because the gabapentin usually does a pretty good job. I know the liquid gabapentin most cats hate. I'm surprised he notices the capsules because they don't seem to have a lot of flavor. Most cats will eat it right up. Have you tried it in something really strongly flavored, like some tuna juice or salmon oil or something like that?
I tried it in the heart squeezables and also the churu squeezable ones, which are like super, super tasty, but he tastes them. And I used to be able to put them in the squeezable treat, like stuff it inside the plastic that the treat squeezes out of. Hmm. And I kind of squeeze it out fast so he would gulp it down.
Right.
But now he just senses it. He spits it out. He knows no matter what I do, it's like he spits it out.
He's certainly got a sensitive flavor of that.
Both the capsule, he notices the capsule if I leave it whole, and he tastes it if I sprinkle it. If I sprinkle it on something, he tastes it. In the beginning, it worked, but it's not working anymore.
Right.
Because he like tastes it, either the liquid or the capsule, like, you know, the powder inside the capsule. He knows it's there.
All right. Yeah, the only other thing I could think is if you could find something that's got a really strong flavor. And cats are usually pretty good with a little bit of oil. Like, that doesn't seem to upset their stomachs like oil does to a dog. So maybe something like a salmon oil. You could try that.
Okay.
And see if he likes the taste.
For
and,
sure.
You know, certainly get him to like it plain first, to the point where he's like, oh, this is good, yum, 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 and then try adding a little bit in and a little bit in and see if you can, you know, see if it'll work that way.
And make sure he doesn't see you adding it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he is smart about that.
That is a very good point. I will definitely
I don't know
try
if it's
that.
A good point.
The oil or the tuna juice.
Yeah.
Thank you
Thank
for calling,
you so
Kristen.
Much. I appreciate it.
Good
you
luck
bet.
With your with your absolutely unassassinatable cat.
Thank you. I need it. Take care.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. This is Pets and Vets on Vox Pop with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Then we go.
I just have one other thought for her.
Go ahead.
That a couple of other thoughts is they can sometimes get, you can get medications compounded, and the pharmacies can do all sorts of flavors and keep trying to find one that maybe the cat would like. The other option is there are a couple of online pharmacies that do flavored treats that maybe that would work.
That might work.
So that's another couple of thoughts.
Always an expense, but...
Yes. But if he needs his nails cut all the time, you know, she could...
Sure.
She could get it and keep it in stock.
Great. 800-348-2551. We'll go now to Sandy in Rotterdam. Hello, Sandy.
Hi, how are you?
We're okay. How are you? Yep, we can hear you.
We turn the radio down. Hi, yes, I called in because I have a 14-year-old Chihuahua who's, he's getting up there. And he's become very, I would consider, arthritic. He's not in pain, but now when he walks, he's extremely stiff-legged. He doesn't bend his joints anymore like he used to. I mean, if he's in my lap, I can bend his joints and I exercise him, and he's not painful. But he also is prone to seizures, and I started giving him CBD oil, which has helped tremendously. He hardly ever has one anymore, but it certainly hasn't done anything for his joints. And he's so little, he's like 4 pounds. So I just wondered what would be the best thing for him.
So I take it he's, besides the CBD oil, he's not on any arthritis medication?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, it might not be a bad idea to speak to your vet about doing a little trial. Anytime you have a dog who's not walking normally.
Yes.
It's very likely he is actually having some pain. They don't say ow, but they just don't use their legs the way they used to.
Right.
So I always recommend a pain trial to see if you notice a big difference. And there's a bunch of different options, even for the little guys. There's some, liquid medications that can be, tapered down to their little size and things like that. So I would have a conversation with your doctor about trying some pain relief on him and see if you try it and he's no better, then maybe he just has slightly stiff joints and he doesn't need pain meds, but it'd be worth a try.
I mean, he's very sensitive. If you rub his ear that he doesn't like, and he yups if he do it just too hard.
Yeah.
But with his joints, he bends.
Yeah,
the chronic
pain, they don't tend to go out too much. They just try to avoid using them.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Bill in North Adams. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm calling my cat, Charlie, who's going to be 20 this year. He's in pretty good shape for the shape he's in.
Who amongst us?
seems to have pretty hard stool. It's been going on for a while now. And I've been wondering if there's something like a diet-wise, or I didn't know if there's something maybe that should see if the vet has something that could help him with that. He's a picky eater, and he hasn't been eating a lot. He's always been around 7 pounds, and he's got all these treats and things, but a lot of days he just sticks his nose up at it. I've got 5 different water bowls at various places. His favorite is to jump in the clawfoot tub and drink from the always running faucet. That's his main source of water.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for getting
hard.
Him.
I guess it's hard to keep him hydrated.
Yes. Yep. So kudos to you for getting him to 20, first of all. Does he eat canned food?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him to do more of that. He loves these crunchy treats, but I probably have, I got a shelf of all different kinds because he likes variety sometimes.
Yes.
Yes, and I'm trying to get him. We add water to it. It's a pate that we use because his mouth's bad. They can't do anything about his teeth. He's had a heart murmur his whole life, and they don't want to put him under. They don't think he'll come back.
Yeah. So the one thing you could try, and you can do this on canned food. You can also do it on dry food, because there's usually enough oil on the dry food for it to stick, is a little Miralax powder that you can buy over the counter at any drugstore or grocery store. Miralax is a laxative, and it works by drawing fluid into the colon. So, you know, if he's totally dehydrated, it's not going to work. But for a lot of these elderly cats, it's very common for them to get a little constipated. And a little bit of Miralax, and I usually start with either an eighth or a quarter of a teaspoon. And you do it to effect. So if he's having dry, hard stools, you can add a little bit more. If they start getting mushy, then he's getting too much. And you just sort of play around with it and see if you can find a happy medium.
Yeah, that'd be good, because he's not completely dehydrated. And he's usually sleeping. He gets the zoomies and jumps around, but he's got stairs and he lays on his heated blanket on his throne. And,
And the Miralax has...
He's still having a good life.
Good. And the Miralax has no flavor, so they don't even notice it's there. So it's pretty easy to add to anything.
Okay, I'll add. Thank you. Because we were at one point, there was an appetite, mirtazapine to help with the appetite.
Yep.
Once in a while, he'd get that. But the last time, it put him in some sort of crazy brain loop thing.
Oh,
he kept going to his cat boxes, and he'd come back in, he'd drop it, he'd look at the food, go back in. We got up to like 12 or 13. I thought it just messed with his brain.
Yeah, mirtazapine can do that to some cats. It can make them a little loopy, that's for sure.
All right, well, we'll try that today. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, bye.
Why can't they make the other one not taste like anything? They just can't.
Yeah.
800-348.
Some medications have almost no flavor, and some medications have really strong flavor.
Which is true for pharma for humans, too.
Exactly.
I almost just gave the phone number again. I don't need to do that. We're going to try to squeeze in one more quick call before the end of the show. Isaac, can you ask your question quickly?
Very quickly. Is there something that you can put on a dog's paws that can help block rock salt?
Actually, yes. I think it's mushers.
Mushers. Yeah, mushers. M-U-S-H-E-R-S. Mushers.
Yeah.
Mushers like a dog musher.
Right. Yes. Like the Iditarod. Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. And that's just something that it's like a paste?
It's like a...
You've probably used it. Yeah.
It's kind of like Vaseline or Aquaphor. A little bit mentholated. Yeah. And our dog has had no trouble when we put it on him. He does want to lick it off, but it'll get a little oil on the floor of your house, but it cleans up easy too.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Isaac. You got it? You're good?
Got it.
Cool.
Excellent. Mushers. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hasta la vista. 1-800. No, not the phone number. It is the end of the show for today. We are out of time. It has been Pets and Vets on Vox Pop with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Thank you as ever, Carrie. You are part of the family, and we're so grateful that you are.
Well, thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today. Our engineer has been the Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Andrea Leon. I'm Sarah LaDuke in for Ray Graff this afternoon. Please remember that you can support WAMC anytime at wamc.org. We are trying to have the fund drive next week be as short as possible. We're very nearly at $570,000 in the lockbox, a few hundred short of that, and I would love to see it tip over in the next little bit here. Underwriting support for WAMC comes from Amigos Cantina, Mexican cuisine with a Southwest accent, now serving dinner ins and outdoors with their 18th year on the historic Schuylerville, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 4:30, amigoscantina.net. I read that so badly and I apologize. I owe you one, Amigos. Stay tuned now for 51%.